Well, we bring now, as we promised, to these microphones, the man who covers the Middle East news for us. He's been in that part of the world for over 30 years as a journalist, gives him great insight in what is happening. David Dolan is who we're talking about. He's the broadcast partner par excellence with us as we look at Middle East news and then update it for you. David, we had a focus the last couple of days since Wednesday, the 20th, on Geneva. They were supposed to resume the talks between the P5, that would be the five permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, plus that would then include also Germany. And they have been trying to get it back together. It looks like it's not really coming together as they wanted it to. But let's forget the talks for a moment. Whichever way it comes out, I want to ask you about Israel. Now, I know that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been on a big campaign to try to get these members who are in Geneva with the leadership of the Iranians and the nuclear program. And he's been trying to influence them. He went to Russia this week. He had the president of France come in and gave him all types of honors to win him over to the Israeli side. But whatever way it comes out, if there's a deal, if there's not a deal, if it's a good deal, if it's a bad deal, does that influence the end game as far as Israel is concerned?
Well, it certainly does, Jimmy, in the sense that the prospect of a military strike from Israel is very much predicated on what happens. If Iran were to bend much further than they're indicating, probably, you know, the military option will go off the table. In other words, if they did agree to dismantle all of their centrifuges, all of their uranium enrichment centrifuges, which is a core component of building nuclear weapons, enriching that uranium up to weapons-grade levels, which they've been not quite doing, but they've been prepared to. They've enriched it up to 20%, which means it can be enriched further in just a week or two, I'm told by some scientists. Yes, if that were to happen, and that were the outcome of these talks, well, that would very much affect what Israel would do. But nobody's expecting that, Jimmy, and especially after the overall supreme leader, and this just has to be stressed over and over again, that President Rouhani, who was here and feted by President Obama and others, or was in New York, et cetera, he may be a little bit more moderate sounding, but Khamenei, Ayatollah Khamenei, runs the show. And it was a reminder on the eve of those talks in Geneva when he gave a very hardline speech. He said Israeli leaders are animals, not humans. He said the Zionist regime will be annihilated once again. He made that threat. And he said, most importantly, in the context of the talks, that Iran will not go beyond certain red lines, and one of those is its right to enrich uranium. So obviously he's not prepared to give that up. If he doesn't, the military option is on the table. Whatever sort of piecemeal accord or halfway accord, interim accord, I think they're calling it, is knit together in Geneva.
Yeah, it sounds like a no-starter for the people over there. Why talk when the leadership of the country you're trying to negotiate with already lays down the red lines? We're not going to, I think I heard him say, we're not going to back off of our nuclear program one iota. And that means that they're going to continue ahead. I don't see how Israel can deal with that. In fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu, once again this week, emphasized there will be no nukes for Iran. That definitely makes certain that that military option is on the table for Israel.
Well, it does, Jimmy. And I, again, as I've shared over the past few weeks, I've been getting indications from some of my sources that this could be something very close at hand. One of the reasons maybe it hasn't happened up till now is a good reason, and that is that Israel had a record tourism month last month, Jimmy, the highest number of people entering the country ever in one month, and it was about 340,000 people, many of them coming for the Feast of Tabernacles and other things. But that tourism surge is still there to a certain extent, but it starts to die out by around now. And then usually there's a very few visitors in the land between late November until the Christmas period. Well, that might be a factor in Prime Minister Netanyahu's thinking in terms of a strike on Iran, because if indeed Iran strikes back and Hezbollah strikes, and that's probable, then there would be less visitors in the country when that occurred. But I think we're entering a period right now, Jimmy, and for the next 2 or 3 weeks where this is a distinct possibility, but again, a lot is going to depend on what the final outcome is of those talks.
And we'll stay on top of this story with our good buddy, David Dolan. David, what about Hamas making this statement this week? They're threatening the Jews with genocide. They said, the Hamas leader said, we're going to come into your homes, we're going into your schools, we're going to wipe you out.
Yeah, well, again, their founding charter says the same thing. So they're not being dishonest when they sometimes have a little negotiation behind the scenes with Israel, like occurred during the last Gaza crisis that occurred in Cairo, back-channel negotiations. They'll talk to Israel when they have to, but their stated goal in the Hamas founding charter, and I was the first Western journalist, as you know, Jimmy, to write about it extensively in a book that came out in 1991. I did so quoting 7 pages of my book from their founding charter because I thought they meant this. And among the statements are that Israel will be destroyed. No negotiations with it. Any negotiations must be halted immediately, it said then. It still says that. Of course, this is exactly what their patron, Ayatollah Khamenei, and Hezbollah and others are saying as well. So this is the war front, as it were, that Israel is facing, the East Iran, the North Lebanon, possibly Syria, and, of course, to the southwest in the Gaza Strip, a increasingly heavily armed Hamas movement.
David, this is tangible evidence to back up the statement by Prime Minister Netanyahu as well this week. He said radical Islam is taking us to a dark period. Now, he has much experience being a leader of Israel for many, many years in many, many different political offices. But that is a true statement, is it not? You know the Middle East. Radical Islam taking that portion of the world, that region, into a dark period.
Absolutely, Jimmy. And it's been on the ascendancy ever since Ayatollah Khomeini, the predecessor of the current Iranian chief cleric, ever since he came to power in 1979. And I watched it. I actually had my 33rd anniversary this week, Jimmy, of coming to Israel, November 17th, 1980. And that was just less than a year into the Iranian Revolution. So I watched Hezbollah founded in Lebanon. I was there at the time. I was there when Hamas was founded in 1989. I was in the country when all these things were happening, and it's a grave danger. And now we just had this week another little piece in that. We had a coalition meeting in Syria of 6 Islamic groups that are fighting the Assad regime, Sunni Muslim groups. They're mostly religious groups, Al-Qaeda-linked, some of them. But they came together and announced that they do plan to establish an Islamic theocratic state, a Sunni Muslim Islamic state in place of Assad's regime, if they are able to defeat Assad with their non-religious Arab partners, Sunni partners. And they are, by non-religious, I shouldn't quite say that. They're mostly all Sunni Muslims, but less observant, let's say, or less radical, let's say. But that's another ominous sign that either way the Syrian conflict ultimately goes, Israel will still face an enemy in Syria to its north.
Just 15 seconds, David. Russia filling the vacuum in the Middle East left by the United States, i.e. Egypt.
Yes, rushing there to get their port set up there. They're hoping they can do that, bringing lots of money. U.S. is pulling back, another sign that U.S. influence is declining very dramatically there. And Russia's on the rise, along with Islamic fundamentalism. Not a good recipe.
Yes, indeed. And this is a story we'll stay on top of. We'll do that with David Dolan, our Middle East news expert in what is happening in that part of the world. David, thank you so much, my good friend. We certainly appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.